There it went. Now you got me? Okay. Let's see if that makes it. See if we can make it through this service. We'll swap out for the next one. All right. Faith in Jesus gives us the hope we need in the darkest of times. So we look in the first part of, or the last part of chapter 4, and we see that Paul is talking to the church about believers or loved ones who have believed and have gone on, right, who have passed on from this world. And in the church of Thessalonica, Paul was dealing with an issue at that time where they believed that Christ was coming back in their lifetime, right? I think we all kind of do that, right? And what they were believing was is that those who died before Christ came back weren't going to make it. That if they died before Christ came, that they weren't going to make it to heaven with the rest of them. And so the believers were grieving so terribly about those who had passed on because they were going to miss out on eternity because they had died before Christ returned. And Paul is correcting them. He's saying, hey, look, let me tell you something. I don't want you to be ignorant about what's going on here. And Paul begins to talk about the resurrection of Christ and how in our grief, in our mourning, and when we lose someone, right, in the darkness of our grief, right, Christ gives us the hope that we need through his resurrection. See, I want you to imagine something. We've all in this room probably lost somebody that we loved. Now, I want you to imagine something. Imagine if there would be no idea, no inclination that those who have died would live eternally. That we would never have the opportunity to see them again. That when you die, you die, that's it. You go into the hole, you get buried, they cover you up with some dirt, and that's the last time we ever see you. Well, that makes death a pretty powerful thing, doesn't it? Makes it a very difficult thing. Makes it a very sad thing. But when we look to the hope of the resurrection of the brethren, when we know those who believe in Christ and place their faith in Christ will again rise from the dead and that we will be all reunited with Christ, we have a hope that again that we will see those that we love. So even in death, even in the darkness of death, is death not like the darkest thing that we could face in this lifetime? It is probably the single greatest fear of all mankind. Not only the death of ourselves, but maybe the death of others that are close to us. We fear it. We say it all the time. I don't know what I would ever do if this happened. We worry. We fear the death that awaits us. All is a promise of life, and that is death. But Paul said, look, I don't want you to be ignorant of these things. And ignorance is not an insult here. I don't want you to not know what really is going to happen, okay? What he says here, if we look at verse 13, it says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Okay, he said, so because, right, we're not going to grieve like those who have no hope. Why? Because Jesus died and rose again. In the resurrection of Christ, we have hope in the darkness of death. We have hope in our grief that because Jesus rose again, that he promised us that we were going to do the same. Let me show you a couple things. When, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'll show you a couple things here. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to read to you a few verses there, starting in verse 42. It says, so will it be, this is Paul again, with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown as a natural body, it is raised as a spiritual body. Okay, this is God's promise to his people, to those who have believed in him. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, speaking of Jesus, the life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man, from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Wow. Okay, so here's what we got to understand. When Christ rose from the dead, this is why we have hope. Three things that happened when Christ rose from the dead. First, he defeated our adversary. If we look back in 1 Corinthians 15 there, verse 55 says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where is your sting?" See, when Christ was raised from the dead, when he rose from the dead, he beat our adversary. So death no longer had a sting. There was no longer victory in death because death was not the end for us anymore. The curse of sin was over because the curse of sin is death, right? Because that's what happened when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. The curse is that they would only live a certain amount of years and then they would die. Not only a spiritual death, but a physical death. The curse was over. When Christ rose from the dead, he defeated our adversary. An adversary that you and I have no power to beat on our own. That we were hopeless in beating our adversary. We were without power. We were unable to beat him. When Christ rose from the dead, he defeated our adversary. Not only that, he demonstrated his deity. When Christ rose from the dead, he demonstrated his deity. I want to read this to you. Romans 1, verse 4 says this. And he, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. What? And he, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. You see, here's the thing. He's the only one that's done it. Now, I know that he called Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus rose from the dead. He walked out of the tomb. Guess where Lazarus is? He's dead. He died. He's not still alive. See, Lazarus came back as a physical person when he came out of the grave. Jesus rose as a new person with a glorified body. See, this is how we have hope in our grief. See, I believe that God is compassionate toward those who grieve. Jesus said it, one of the first things he taught his disciples is, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." But you know what he told, you know what James said? James said, "Look, all your religion, all the stuff that you do, your religious stuff is worthless. You know what you need to do? Care for the widows and the orphans." You know why? Those are the ones who grieve. They've lost somebody. They've lost somebody close to them. God has great compassion for us who grieve. But he doesn't leave us in our grief. He gives us hope, even in the darkest of times, that this is not the end. We've all probably lost someone. Maybe I haven't lost someone as close as you have lost someone, but we've all lost someone along the way. And instead of looking at it as every day that goes by, I get further away from the person I lost, we should look at it as every day that goes by, I get closer to seeing them again. That's hope. We have hope in the resurrection of Christ. Not only did he defeat our adversary, and he demonstrated his deity, but he also determined our destiny. Through his resurrection, Christ determined our destiny. He set an appointment for you and for me. If we have put our faith in Christ, he set an appointment for you, and he said, "This is what's going to be your destiny." Let me show you this. All right, if we look in 1 Thessalonians 4 there, all right, verse 17. Let's read 16 and 17. It says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Catch this. "And so we will be with the Lord forever. He determined your destiny. He defeated your adversary that you cannot be. Just through his resurrection, he defeated your adversary. He demonstrated that he is God. He showed you. Look, you don't have to doubt him. He showed you. I am God because I have been raised from the dead. Not the physical body, but I no longer am a physical being. I am now a spiritual entity. You can see me. You could even touch me. Thomas even touched his scars in his hand, and his hands in his side. But he was different. He had a different body, a glorified body. He determined our destiny when he was resurrected from the dead, that we will too one day be like him. Isn't that hope? Even in the darkness of our grief, we have hope that this is not the end. We need to remember, we need to always remember that this is not the end. And if grief is the darkest of things, the biggest of things that we may have to face in this world, then what else could there be that he couldn't help us with? What else could come about in our life that would be bigger than death that Christ couldn't give us hope for? What I'm trying to tell you is that if Christ can give us hope, even in death, even in grief, if Christ can give us hope, even in the darkness of grief, he can give us hope in anything else that we face in this life. Second thing I want to share with you, just backing up that one statement, faith in Jesus gives us hope we need for the darkest of times. If we look in chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." There's so much written about the last days and the end times in the Bible. It talks about that there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and children will turn on their parents, and neighbors will kill each other, and there'll be storms of great magnitude, and people will be lovers of money, lovers of themselves. It'd just be crazy chaos all over. None of that goes on today, though, right? So, I talk to a lot of people, and I can tell you that if I spend too much time watching the news, then I can actually feel this weight kind of come on me, because when we start looking at the darkness of the world, doesn't it start to feel a little hopeless? Doesn't it feel like it's gone so far now that we're never going to be able to turn it back? Don't it feel that way? Don't it feel like it's slowly just moving toward the darkness? The darkness keeps growing and growing and growing, and no matter what we do, we just can't stop it. No matter how are we trying, no matter how much we try to love, no matter how much we preach the gospel, the darkness keeps growing and growing. And people love the darkness, and we just can't stop it. And boy, I don't know about you, but when I spend a lot of time watching the things that go on in the world, when I spend a lot of time watching the things that go on with people in their everyday life, boy, it can feel kind of heavy. My hope can begin to be diminished. But Paul reminds us that even in the darkness of the end times, that we have hope in the return of Christ. See, not only do we have hope in the resurrection of Christ, we have hope in the return of Christ. See, because here's what we do, is that as the more that the darkness grows and the further away from God it seems like the world is getting, we still have hope. Even if it's total damnation, we still have hope. Because Christ said, "Hey, look, I'm not leaving you. I'm coming back for you. I'm going to get you. You're still mine. I'm not changing my mind about you. I haven't turned my back on you." All of these things must take place. All of them must take place so that I can return, bring you home, destroy it all, and we can start over together. See, it's hard to think about it that way because we hold on to this world. Because we think this is the best that we're going to get. We hold on to this life. We hold on to this world and the things of this world, thinking that this is the very best that we could ever hope for. But Christ says, no. No. In your life, you're going to face darkness. Darkness is going to grow and it's going to try to overtake you, but don't let it. Don't let it. Remember, I'm coming back. I'm bringing you home. I'm going to wipe it all out, and we're going to start over together. When Christ returns, these are the things we receive. Three things quickly. Relief from all that is worldly. When Christ returns, we receive relief from all that is worldly. In Revelation 21:4, he says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What? Now, if that's not good news to you, folks, we need to talk. All right? The old order of things have passed away. All that you know today that is the world as it is going away. It's going to be destroyed. And he's going to start over brand new with his people, with his believers, those who have placed their faith in him. When Christ returns, we receive relief from all that is worldly. We finally get to the place where the weight is gone. We don't feel the heaviness of the darkness any longer. Wow. Not only that, when Christ returns, we receive reunion with our fallen family. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 17. He says, hey man, look, the Lord himself is going to come down. He's going to come out with a loud command. You remember what he did when he raised Lazarus from the dead? He said, Lazarus, come forth, right? Probably didn't say it like that. But he spoke. He spoke words, and he spoke into a whole nother dimension, and Lazarus came forth. I just see him coming back and calling us by name and telling us, come forth, come on out of the grave, it's time to come home. Look, I just believe that Christ is going to come back, and he's going to call the dead from out of the grave to come and meet him. And those who are still alive, we actually get to witness that. That's what's cool, right? He says that the dead in Christ will rise first, okay? So we get to actually witness that. Now, that's not zombie apocalypse, folks. That's the return of Christ. We get to witness our loved ones being resurrected from the dead. If we're still here. And then he says, hey, when that happens, then all of you that are left, I'm going to call you all up together. And we're going to have a big old family reunion right here. In the return of Christ, we have hope of a reunion with our fallen family. And finally, when Christ returns, we will receive renewed bodies for our eternity. In 1 Corinthians 15:49, it says, and just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. See, this is his promise, is that, look, whatever happened to him in that grave, it's going to happen to you. Just as you were like the earthly man, you will be like the heavenly man. When Christ returns, we receive relief from all that is worldly, reunion with fallen family, and renewed bodies for our eternity. Amen. And finally, as we look a little deeper in our scripture here, a little further down the line in our scripture, the reason why faith in Jesus gives us the hope we need in the darkest of times, if we look at verse 8 in chapter 5, it says, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Folks, in the darkness of our sin, We have hope in the redemption of Christ. We have hope in the redemption through Christ. In the darkness of our sin, he says, look, I did not appoint you to wrath, but to salvation. He said, look, I didn't put you here so that I could destroy you. I put you here so that I could save you. And we have, even in the darkness of our sin, even when we are in the deepest depths of our sin, thinking that nothing could ever help us, we have made all the wrong decisions. Everyone thinks that we're worthless, that we could never get it right, that nothing that we ever could do could ever earn us the opportunity to get to heaven. You're right about that, by the way. Even the best of people can't say that. But it says, but God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but receive, not earn, receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the darkness of our sin, we have hope in redemption through Jesus Christ. In Christ's redemption, we have forgiveness for our sin. Colossians 1, 13 through 14 says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. I'm going to read that to you again, just in case you missed it. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What does this word redemption mean? It means to be bought back. It means to be in slavery and bondage. It means to be sold out of the family, or you just don't belong to anybody. You're just out there being a slave. And somebody comes along, pays a price, pays a debt that you can never pay on your own to buy yourself out of slavery. Somebody comes along and pays a debt and buys you back and makes you his family. Redemption through Christ brings us forgiveness of sin, but it also gives us the filling of God's Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, it says this, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked with him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. See, not only when Christ died for your sin, he gave you redemption and forgiveness of sin, but he also gave you the opportunity, the right to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So not only that you can be promised eternity, but that you can actually live holy in this life through the Holy Spirit's power. And finally, in Christ's redemptions, we gain a family of supporters. Ephesians 2, 19 says this, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Through the redemption of Christ, we receive the forgiveness of sin, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and family of supporters. Today we can know this, that faith in Jesus gives us the hope we need in the darkest of times. Today in our grief, no matter how deep, no matter how great, in our grief, we have hope in the resurrection of Christ. Today in the darkness, as the end times approach, as the darkness grows and people grow further away from God, we do not need to fear. We do not need to lose hope, because Christ has promised us he's going to return. He promised he'd come. He promised he'd die. He promised he'd be buried. He promised he'd rise again. And he promised he'd return. It's the only thing left to fulfill, folks. He ain't lied about the other ones. I don't think he's lying about this one. No matter how great the darkness gets, we have hope in the return of Christ. And today, no matter how far, how deep you may be in your life of sin, we have hope. There is hope in the redemption of Christ. But you won't get it. You cannot receive the redemption of Christ through religious ritual. You must receive it through a relationship with the Savior. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. See, Christ doesn't want you to just come to church, perform a religious ritual, say a prayer. He wants a relationship with you. But you got to come to Him. You got to surrender yourself to Him. You got to leave the old, leave the darkness, step into the light. Let Him give you the redemption that He died for. Let Him put His hope in you, the hope of tomorrow, the hope of His return, and the hope of our resurrection. Let me pray with you this morning. Father, today I thank You for Your love and Your grace. God, I pray today that we would receive this word. God, we receive it with truth. And Father, we would respond to it. Lord, today I pray that we place our hope in the right place. Place it in Your Son, Jesus. God, that in Him that we will know that no matter how great the darkness may be, God, we always have hope. God, if we place our faith in You. We love You and we thank You, God, in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. If our deacons could come forward this morning, we'll...